Hi, Chris.
How you doing?
I'm really good. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the invite. It's good to be here. I'm currently in Heathrow,
I was going
waiting
to
for a flight to Belgrade. So I'm glad
say,
we managed to squeeze it in.
look, I really appreciate you taking the time out. And you only told me this morning you're actually going to be at the airport. And I just think, that is making a serious effort
Oh,
to jump
wonderful.
on. So I really appreciate it, mate. Thank you so much.
Yeah, my pleasure, man. My pleasure.
Yeah. So you're off to Belgrade or Serbia, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's guys, there's a great bunch of guys over in Garden Girls over in Serbia called Empel, and they've got something called the Empel Festival, and so that is an employer branding festival over 2 days. So it's a conference with like very high energy, online as well, in person. And so yeah, I'm going over. I went there last year to do a talk and come back, and I'm hosting, taking the podcast there, and I'm doing a live podcast there. So yeah,
Amazing.
really looking forward to it.
Oh, I love that. Well, have a brilliant time. They're very lucky to have you, and
Thank you, man.
I look forward to catching up with you afterwards. But look, just to get into things, Chris, and I'll introduce you very, very briefly. But so we've got Chris LeConte-Harwood, podcast host and producer at the Employer Content Marketing Podcast,
Yeah.
award-winning, award pending,
No,
in between.
let's hope so.
And I must say as well, I've obviously got the Employer Bland podcast, but you are absolutely one of my, inspirations for
Oh,
kickstarting
thank you, man.
in the podcasting space. I thoroughly enjoy your content, and I really like
Lovely, thank you.
you. We've only known each other for a relatively short period of time, but really like, so I'm super grateful, to be honest, to have you on the podcast, and
No,
especially
thank you, mate.
you've taken the time out in an airport to do this, so speaks volumes for the man you are. So thanks very much.
No, cheers, man. Thank you. No, it's, I, and it's one of the reasons I do it, because a bit like me in marathon running, I want to show that it's doable, it's possible, so yeah, thank you, really appreciate it.
Yeah, not at all. So look, we're going to get into the topic of the rise of job marketing. That's kind of our overarching topic, but Chris, before we jump into that, I'd really like to know kind of the man behind the mic a little bit, if possible, because I know so much about you from a outwardly facing podcast host and topics surrounding employer brand, recruitment, marketing, and everything in between. But I don't know, and maybe the listeners do or don't, but I'd imagine the listeners don't know a huge amount about you from, just where you've come from, early influences in your life and that type of stuff. So could we kind of kick off with that? Just talking
Yeah,
more
nice.
about
Yeah.
you and who you are.
Yeah, so I mean, so yeah, I'm Chris, and I've got a company called Content Marketing Pod, but I also have part of that an employer studio connected to that, which is all dedicated to my employer content. So it's called the Employer Content Studio, but I keep it simple. And basically we do content strategy and content production. So kind of, why did I do that? It's really, I suppose, I really wanted to use the principles of content marketing in employer marketing and in B2B and B2C. So really for me, it's about not slinging product and slinging job vacancies at people, like just as in the usual way. Here's a job ad, here's a job ad, here's a job ad. You've got to do something differently. Create value to get value, basically. So kind of, where did that start? That kind of started, I've been in the agency world for 19 years, 20 years. Was at Havas People for a long time, for like 15 of those years. And then I moved media side for a year. And then that was doing a lot of B2C work, and then came back into the employer marketing world for a year as a content marketing strategist at SMRS. And then I really wanted to apply content marketing to work much quicker than I was able to if I wasn't doing it for myself. So I kind of started out with, I grew up in an advertising agency, pretty much. My parents had their own advertising agency in Cambridge. I used to spend a lot of time there. My dad was like, classic ad man. His name was Don as well, although not a rogue at all, but his name was Don, and he partnered with my mum and set up this agency. So I was kind of surrounded by it a lot, you know, seeing my dad's advertising. He was both copywriter and art director, you know, a good all-rounder, which I think is really important. And he, seeing him, was kind of, he wouldn't just go and sling products out there. You know, if he was doing something for a client and they had a restaurant, he would say to them, well, let's look at your restaurant to start with and let's do it up. So he moved into the space of restaurant design and all that, and PR events, and, you know, doing things like setting up a Santa's Grotto to make sure that more people came in to a shopping centre in the lead up to Christmas. You know, so it's me like packing little boxes of, you know, gifts in Santa's sack and putting them in there, working very, very much there. And so that's kind of really, I think, where it started, is that appreciation of what you need to do to earn people's attention.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that's, I love that, because that's kind of authentic marketing as well, isn't it? It's like you can be as aspirational as you like, but if the product isn't kind of what it says it is over here, then let's go back down here. Let's go back down to the experience and make sure it's a good experience before we even think about anything aspirational. So
exactly.
Authenticity, I think, isn't there behind that kind of, just having that kind of ethos in the way you approach it. Yeah, brilliant. All right, thanks for that, Chris. So we were going to get into the conversation of job marketing, and it's probably, you know, a good opportunity for maybe you and I just to discuss our kind of interpretations of job marketing and the benefits of job marketing. So do you want to give us any insights from your side on that?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's really interesting when you picked it up in the kind of the green room chat and the preparation for this, is that I think when it comes to job marketing, it's, you know, I said at the beginning about, it's not about just slinging products at people and slinging job ads at people. Job marketing runs deeper than that, but is no less like laser focused on the job in hand, which is to fill those roles. So I think job marketing for me is a much progressive version of a well-phrased headline for a job vacancy, and even a well-written job ad. You know, there's a big problem with badly written job ads in the world, and ChatGPT, we might raise the bar in various low bar areas, but ultimately you're going to get stuff that's very generic. And job marketing is really what I like about what you guys are doing at Voice, is going deep into the actual job, the teams, the individuals, instead of just hiding behind a job vacancy that kind of doesn't make sense to lots of people, and makes sense to the person who's writing it, which often is the hiring manager, you know. So I think that's what it is. And I think the combination for me, where it is, when you bring this thing about creating valuable content, people, teams or individuals have such a vast array of knowledge and experience and advice. Actually tap into that. Let's not just say this is a great place to work. How many people say that every day? You know, this is a great place to work, we're the employer of choice. So I think add that kind of content marketing layer to recruitment marketing, and I think we've got something which is more like job marketing, and it addresses an issue which is actually helping a hiring manager and talent acquisition fill roles. So I think it's the balance between employer marketing, employer branding, and the very specific nation, which tends to be sometimes maybe too performance focused, which is recruitment marketing.
Agree. I think one of the things, I feel sorry for so many recruitment marketing and employer brand leaders, not all, but so many are, I think, as we both probably appreciate, they're underfunded, they're overstretched. There's these incredibly high expectations for them to create miracles quite often. Yeah. But they haven't got the resources, they haven't got the budget, often to make those miracles come to life. And I think what I like about job marketing is that you can micro. So that huge Mount Everest strategy that's in front of you from an employer brand leader or recruitment marketing leader's point of view, you can shrink that down to a micro level with job marketing. Mm. even looking at individual teams in a business, but if you look at job marketing for individual job roles, I think in my experience, you can just start having so much fun with different ideas, different concepts, different types of content. You know, what's you know, pulling threads, what's striking chords and what's not, you know, because you're not going to get stuff right, or you know, you're probably going to get a lot more wrong than you do right. But you can, you know, for an incredibly small budget, you can actually start having a lot of fun and actually start seeing what's moving the needle and maybe what's not. And I think for me, that's the biggest appeal for adopting a more heavily focused job marketing strategy than you would a recruitment marketing strategy. It still obviously for me feeds the recruitment marketing, the overall like holistic, you know, company-wide, enterprise-wide strategy. But I think so many recruitment marketing leaders, they often, you know, it's really difficult for them to prove, you know, to prove value, to prove return on investment, to prove how they're moving the needle. But I think shrinking things down to a micro level, my personal opinion is job marketing just helps with that, I think, a little bit.
You're absolutely right. I think when it comes to like employer branding, you know, it's, I'd say we're kind of reaching maybe a third phase in the like evolution of employer branding. You're looking at the 90s where Simon Barrow, a great chap, had many good chats, conversations with him, and he kind of came up with the concept of employer brand management. And I mean, that's a whole nother episode about what employer branding is and what employer brand management is. But anyway, he created it. And so in the 90s, it was like, no one really knew about it. You know, a few organizations, individuals would know about it. Then in the noughties and then the teens, it was like, okay, yeah, there's projects that feel like employer branding. We don't really know what it is. Then in the last decade, it's been so many more people with employer branding in their job titles, you know, and teams being created. And actually where I'm going today in Serbia, they got a situation where it's still relatively new for them, but actually they have similar problems, which is small teams, or maybe it's even half a job for somebody. So it's, I think the language in that is like, is very much about trying to find agile ways or lean ways to actually start doing employer branding. And I think actually that's where job marketing, you know, comes into it, because I think the barrier should be lowered in terms of cost of entry. And so there are things that can be done to, I think, bring the world of employer branding directly to the immediate need of organizations that don't have big employer branding budgets or don't appreciate employer branding and don't understand really what it is. To go, right, okay, so this is going to solve a problem for me. That's brilliant. Talk to me about how this, don't talk to me about employer branding. Talk to me about what's the return for me and what's it going to do for me. And job marketing enables you to connect those dots, I think, a lot easier. Not saying you don't do the employer branding piece, but I think it can be merged with the employer branding, established employer branding work, but also help companies introduce it to then get a business case to then invest more into rolling out full-on employer branding program in an organization.
Yeah, because this is the thing, you know, in that exact same vein, you know, without C-suite adoption, budget, you know, budget will just, it will probably drip through, but you're not going to get budget to properly move the needle, are you? But because this is the thing, in job marketing, you know, these different teams in different regions, you know, if you look at an enterprise, because it's, you know, a global enterprise is just probably the easiest way to illustrate the point. But, you know, when you've got, you know, sales and marketing in London, you've got, you know, technology, you know, investment technology in Hong Kong, you've got, you know, a whatever division, logistics division in San Francisco, whatever, you know, there's all these completely different teams, different parts of the world or whatever. But the audiences that ultimately talent teams will be reaching out to and creating awareness with, they're so incredibly different, aren't they? They consume content in completely different places. They will be more interested in polarizing types of content. The strategies around like all of this different stuff, like they're so polarizing quite often, aren't they? And so different that if you can start doubling down and having a bit of fun, okay, so you say, okay, look, logistics operations in Barnsley, whatever it might be, you know, who knows, But let's start having some fun. Let's start figuring out what types of content are really striking chords, pulling threads with the audience that we need to be engaging with. And again,
definitely,
there'll be stuff that is working. There'll be stuff that's really not working. But that, for me, that's where it becomes really fun. Because it's like, look, the personal stories or the day in the life of stuff, we thought it was going to drop well. It's really not dropping well. You know, people aren't engaging with that. That's fine. You know, let's maybe double down on whatever it is over here.
Yeah.
What I really like about the job marketing, you know, ethos is that you can start connecting some really interesting dots with types of job ads, types of content, different distribution channels. What is moving the needle and what's not moving the needle? Because you almost, when you can start creating a business case in one of these areas and you can show C-suite that, look, we've been running some pretty cool experiments and we've analyzed the data and we've found this. We want to do the same now the rest of the business. For me, that's budget creation in the right hands. It's blank checks.
Absolutely. It's like, you know, in kind of entrepreneurial circles and, you know, startup worlds, it's equivalent of minimum viable product. But like, wait a minute, minimum viable? What's that? That doesn't sound very good. And experimentation, what? Don't we have to get it right? I mean, that's all connected with not wanting to get things wrong at school because of the way we're tested, to then moving to business and not wanting to put your hand up and everything. But I think, I think you're absolutely right in that test. Doing it the way you're talking about is great because you test and scale, test and scale, test and scale. And I think it doesn't help when you've got language, which are things like the employer of choice.
Yeah.
Employer of choice. It never sat well with me. Like, for who, you know, what, you know, I'm not the only person who says this, but it's, you know, it's that language, I think, definitely doesn't help, because it goes back to the thing about, well, is this employer branding stuff too fluffy? You know, but it's not. We know that attracting and retaining employees is absolutely the number one problem facing organizations. No doubt, you know, and I always refer back to Gallup's global state of the global workplace report.
Yeah.
The numbers of people who are actually actively engaged at work is in the 20s. And even the latest report came out saying, oh, it's gone up. And that was a good thing. It was like, wow, but it's still really low. And it's like $8 trillion in lost productivity, which is crazy. And also from a societal and psychological perspective,
you know,
it's not too much to think that, well, we can do things to try and make people enjoy what they do more, find that match more, you know, rather than just again, sling product at people and just hope it sticks. You can say you can kind of get away with it if you're in the consumer space, because you go onto Amazon, you want something, you buy it, and that's it. Yeah. You can create an aspirational product that's going to elevate your brand. Great. Maybe people don't have a good experience. They get a refund, or they don't buy from you again. But your job, selling you as a place to work, it's, you can't fake that. Well, certainly not for a long time. And it's expensive if it does get faked and the wrong people join you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's almost like this desire to be super aspirational and to be all things to all people. You know, there's some thoughts that I have around this in the, you know, there's still a KPI metrics of like, the more applications we receive, the better job we're doing. Mm. And I just think it's so far from the truth, from what's real. And it kind of, for me, not being afraid to scare people away, like, it should just, for me, that should just flow through employer brand recruitment, marketing, talent acquisition of any kind, really. But that just mantra of, look, it's fine. We're not right for everyone. We're really not right for a lot of people. And let's just embrace that, because the people that are right for us, we're going to be really right for them. They're going to magnetize towards us so hard. So all the stuff you're talking about, you know, employer of choice with a, you know, whatever it is, you know, there's so many overused and overbaked phrases that I think people think these audiences want to hear, but not being afraid to scare people away is probably not a bad thing, is it?
It's a business-wide challenge as well. It's not just in the world of, you know, employer marketing, recruitment, talent acquisition, you know, insert all those words there. It's a thing about that natural desire to want to be successful as an organization. So you go out, you go, right, what's our total addressable market here? You know, and it's that thing about, well, but if we put people off, then we may not get their business, or they may not join us, right? And we've got to remind ourselves, like I do it myself in business, like, that's all right. I think I did post actually a couple of days ago, which was, if you seek safety in the numbers now, tomorrow won't forgive you, because you end up getting the wrong person in, or you end up getting the wrong client in, and you'll just have a go at yourself from your past self, because of it.
100%.
So it is a business-wide issue for sure.
100%. Yeah, couldn't agree more. So to kind of round things off in our last like 5 minutes or so, Chris, I think it'd be quite good, probably, you know, for me as well, because I'd like to pick your brains on this too. But actionable advice for adopting a job marketing strategy. Got any thoughts around that?
Yeah, I think get into content as quickly as possible. Obviously going through some sort of, you know, due diligence, but it's not thinking that you've got to conduct a massive survey. That stuff is useful, no doubt about it, but to kind of think in an agile way, you know, if maybe don't always have to jump towards doing these massive projects, like what you say about starting small and then scaling that approach. So I think from a content perspective, it's like, get your people together, focus on an area, and just literally get on a Zoom call and just start asking people questions about what stories that they have that kind of really resonate with what it's like working here. But more importantly, saying, look, you've actually got a lot of expertise to offer here. So what kind of stuff would you talk about that would interest other peers in, you know, in your job sector? You know, so it becomes a bit B2B as well. So I think get to that kind of discovery workshop piece as quickly as possible. Because a lot of the great stuff is actually in research, isn't it? When, you know, I've seen it before where the research is done and there's lots of gold in there, but not a lot of it comes into the actual content. So why not combine the two? And then also not being worried about starting lo-fi on things as well. You know, stuff like this. Yes, we can criticize Zoom and other platforms for not another Zoom call, but hey, why not make it interesting? Tee it up in a way that's going, we're going to have a conversation about this. Flip record, prep them, flip record, and then capture that content. Then you've got transcription through, you know, using technology to help you do that. You've got, you know, relatively straightforward editing that you can do to clip that up. But then also treat it like, to go another level, treat it a bit like a production where you're going, right, we're going to be at a place over one day, and we're not just going to say, can you come and talk about how great the company is? So we're going to talk about these subjects around opinion, advice, and experience slash stories. So I think there's an over-reliance on stories. Like, this is what it's like for me as a working dad, or this is what it's like for me, insert whichever category. It's like, we're going to talk about these things, and we want you to bring your expertise to it. So straight away, you're going to have a lot more engaged conversation. If you have the right person actually talking to that person, going, this is not looking down the barrel of a camera going, right, action, say something inspiring. Go. You know, it's like, oof, have a conversation. It's conversation. You know, that is ultimately the main, it's got to be guided conversation. But I think from that, you actually then get a lot of content, because you can only serialize a job ad so much. I know, because I've tried over the years. You know, if you actually have that kind of content, then it's a lot more easier to serialize. But you do need to have that thinking up front, but it doesn't have to be like months, weeks and months worth of planning to get to that. If you want to start at some point, then look back at what you do, what you've done before, and go, it's all right. Could have been better, and actually it is better now. But that's good, because otherwise we're not progressing, and you've got to start somewhere. So that would be my, for me, quite short answer to that question.
Yeah, Chris, such a good point on the focus groups. I think involving like a focus group in individual teams is such a good idea, because and for so many different reasons, not just for talent attraction, but it also keeps like keeps teams engaged, doesn't it? If they know that they're kind of you know, their stories and their, you know, the things that they've got to talk about are being listened to and they're important and it's a value and we want to communicate that stuff, it's, there's something really nice about that. And it's, I think that just that activity alone, it kind of keeps teams engaged, doesn't it, on in a broader sense.
100%. And it's there's a B2B value to it as well, even B2C value to it, you know, because when you are then just going beyond just the normal, you know, the standard story stuff, this is what it's like to work here, you get so much more valuable content. And I think when you were talking, it reminded me of when I was starting out in the agency world, and I was in a project management slash integrated marketing manager role and booking, you know, shoots, video shoots, and it's like, right, so we need to book in an interviewer for this talking heads. It's like, we haven't got an interviewer. We've got a copywriter though. They do the interviews. Like, really? What? Now, there are, I think they're very different things, copywriter and an actual interviewer. There are copywriters out there that have that kind of journalistic element to them, which is great and they're fantastic, but it's not about just teeing up some questions that hit the key messages. Obviously, we want to make sure we cover those, but do it in a different way. You know, actually start with the idea of actually having a conversation. It means you need to get the right person to actually have the conversation with those people. But it could be colleagues. You know, it could be colleagues having those conversations with each other, or someone to facilitate that conversation between colleagues. But I think that's a big thing. So then it moves away from it just being this thing about selling people. And going back to what I said at the beginning, it's like, kind of giving value to get value. The value is not necessarily the job. Oh, the value is the great thing, benefits you can get working here, or the salary you can get, or being able to make a difference. Those are no doubt important. But the value is, what content can I give somebody that's going to help them in the next hour at work, or on the next day at their work, or the next week, or the next month, or the next year? And then actually you'll get people that just naturally gravitate towards you because they see the people talking and they go, you know what, actually what they're saying is right, or the advice they give is absolutely perfect, you know, and I'm vibing with them and I could actually see myself working in that place.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for me, that is everything for me. It's people that can look at some content and just think, you know what, from the sea of stuff I've seen, this, I think I could work with these people, and these people speak language. They are the type of people I would like to actually spend the majority of my day with. And I think that's why this approach for me, and it's probably a nice way for us to kind of, you know, summarize the chat, but for me, that's why I like this approach. It's like giving a voice to the individuals in the company to actually tell their story. And they're so unique. So many of them like grew up in all different places around the world. They've come from completely different backgrounds. They've got such interesting things to talk about. And so much of that will resonate and strike so many strong chords with people out in the talent audiences. Like, that's the stuff that moves the needle, isn't it? It won't resonate with so many people, but there's this finite number of people, it will punch them in the throat. I'll be like, wow, that is me. That is my place. And like, get me in there. I want to speak to them. And that I think Absolutely. That's why I like this approach so much, because it's just trying to cut through the noise a little bit, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And look, the world of work actually is really fascinating. You know, there are documentaries about it. We look on Channel 4 and other channels are obviously, you know, suitable, you know, and they documentary about people working.
Yeah.
You know, so actually world of work is actually fascinating, which means saying is a great place to work or no day is the same, or we are the employer of choice and you get to do great things here, just doesn't do it justice.
Okay. Agreed. Chris, thank you so much for taking the time out. And look, especially, and I know you mentioned it, but the fact that you are in the Heathrow Terminal 3 or whatever it is, like, and doing this for us is just phenomenal. So thank you so much for taking the time out, mate, and have a very, very safe flight and a great time at the conference.
Well, thank you, mate. Well, look, it's gave me something to do and I always have a good chat with you. So I really appreciate the invite.
Thanks ever so much, Chris. Take care.
Thank you, mate. Bye now.
Cheers. Bye.